Haines voters elect a new mayor, and in Skagway, absentee ballots will decide several of the election outcomes. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Haines voters have put Jan Hill back in the mayor's seat 3 years after she lost to current mayor Stephanie Scott. The rematch saw Hill getting 57% of Tuesday's vote over Scott's 43%. Hill and Scott ran their campaigns much like they did 3 years ago. They didn't engage in debate or squabble on differences. In fact, it was hard to pinpoint many distinctions between them. They agreed they operated with different styles as far as running meetings. And on Wednesday, Hill said that's probably what the public will notice with her back in the mayor's chair.
Just having the election process be over, I'm still kind of sorting in my head what's going to be different and what we're going to do. I think that Mayor Scott and I have different styles, and I think you'll see that readily. And then I need to spend some time burying myself in the borough office and getting more detail on what's been going on. Of course, I've been keeping track all along because I'm interested in what's going on in our community. But now it's time for me to delve into the details.
Hill said there are several issues on the horizon for her in the assembly to tackle. She highlighted some of the issues she heard were important to voters while she was campaigning.
I heard a lot of concerns about, when there was discussion about mandatory garbage service, and after I attended the Commerce Committee meeting, I had a better understanding of what they were actually talking about. Anytime the word taxes or increased taxes comes up, people are concerned, and so I heard a lot about that, and especially about the people thought that there was, an effort going to be made to get rid of the property tax exemption for seniors. And that's actually a state program, so that's not up to the Haynesboro at this point. But a lot of people are concerned about spending, spend within our means and not be dipping into other funds that we may have access to. And most people related it to their personal expenses and their personal budgets, and sometimes you go without things if you don't have the money for it.
When Hill takes the mayor's seat, the makeup of the assembly will also change. Jerry Lapp and Deborah Schnabel did not run for re-election. Voters Tuesday elected Ron Jackson and Mike Case to the two empty seats. Jackson was the clear winner with 55% of the vote. Case came in second, but only by 53 votes over third-place candidate Mario Benassi. There are up to 56 absentee and question ballots yet to be counted, so Case cannot be called the clear winner. But it's unlikely Benassi could overtake Case in the vote count. Jerry Ernie and Joe Parnell rounded out the field of five candidates for assembly. Brian Clay and Anne-Marie Palmieri were re-elected to the Haines School Board as the only two candidates running for three open seats. The school board will have to appoint someone to the third seat. And Haines voters were split on approving three projects for the Haines School. The three projects each had their own question on the ballot, and each were already approved for 70% reimbursement from the state. The bonds for upgrades to the vocational education building and the air handling unit replacement, which is mostly completed, passed easily. But a bond to fund the replacement of the high school roof, the most expensive project of the three, did not. The two approved bonds total about $2.2 million. After the state's reimbursement, that will equal about $47,000 in annual debt payments that the borough will be responsible for. And finally, Haines voters approved Proposition 1, which eliminates the need for a runoff election if a winning candidate receives less than 40% of the vote. Voter turnout was about the same in Haines as the last municipal election at 45%. In Skagway, the races are too close to call, with up to 87 absentee votes yet to be counted. Dan Henry and Angela Greaser lead Roger Griffin in the race for two assembly seats, but Henry and Griffin are separated by only 21 votes. Greaser and Griffin have a slimmer margin of difference. The assembly race, in the end, seemed to focus on the issue of the Tidelands lease with White Pass currently under negotiation. Griffin called himself a one-issue candidate, running mainly because he opposes many of the lease terms released in a memorandum of understanding earlier this year. Meanwhile, Henry, a 17-year incumbent on the assembly, the finance committee chair and one of the lead negotiators for the city in the lease with White Pass, has been emphatic that the city is getting a better deal than it set out for and that the lease will ultimately be decided by voters in a special election. Greaser, a newcomer to elected office, said during her campaign she doesn't have any comments about the lease terms until they're released. There's a little more wiggle room in the school board race for two open seats. Incumbent Kara Cosgrove leads that field of three with Mary Tidlow not far behind, and Mark Smith only 32 votes behind her. And Skagway voters appear to be in support of a bond for a new public safety facility, but opposed to increasing the sales tax to pay for the bond. The votes to support a $12 million bond for a new public safety facility have an 11-vote lead over opponents to the bond. But the second ballot question, whether to implement a 1% sales tax increase in the summer to pay for it, is failing by a slim margin. The absentee ballots for the Skagway election will be counted on Thursday, and the Assembly is expected to certify the results that evening. Voter turnout in Skagway was higher than last year. That's 40% this election compared to 35% last year. And the fact that absentee ballots are deciding this year's race is significant. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch said absentee ballots this year doubled over last year. We have the complete breakdown of votes for both elections on our website. They can also be found on the Skagway and Haynesboro websites. And we'll bring you more coverage of the Skagway election results on Thursday after those absentee ballots are counted. A Sea Alaska subsidiary has closed its office in Cake. Anthony Malott, CEO of the Southeast Regional Native Corporation, says Colorado-based Managed Business Solutions lost a large contract.
It led to significant cost reduction throughout the MBS system, specifically almost a 40% reduction in employee count. And unfortunately, that led to additional employment loss, specifically within the Cake office.
He would not say who the contract was with. Corporate documents list Microsoft and Hewlett-Packard as major clients. Malott says the company had about 200 staffers. It's in the information technology business, including software development. The Cake office only employed three people who worked on marketing, administrative support, and project documentation. That's still a significant number for the central Southeast Alaska village, which has a population of about 550 and high unemployment. Malott says the office was, in part, an experiment to see if one of Sea Alaska's lower 48 companies could employ villagers.
We're always looking for our operating subsidiaries to think about how they can move in to Southeast Alaska. This was an instance where we tried it. The economics did not work, and with MBS looking to reduce fixed cost, this was part of that cost reduction.
Malott says Managed Business Solutions is still a viable business. He says it has government clients and is working to find more. A Sea Alaska construction subsidiary lost about $26 million last year when it badly underestimated the cost of two projects. That and other losses limited the size of shareholders' dividends recently. Malott says the contract loss is a very different situation.
We made a very concerted effort to make sure that we contained the financial effect of that contract loss as quickly as possible and feel very comfortable that it's not going to have a significant effect on our financials.
Sea Alaska has about 22,000 shareholders with tribal connections to Southeast Alaska. About 200 of those live in the Upper Lynn Canal. And there was a special weather statement issued from NOAA late Wednesday for a large part of Southeast, including the Upper Lynn Canal, calling for heavy rain and strong winds starting Thursday. The weather statement says as a strong low-pressure system enters the Gulf of Alaska on Thursday, winds over the inside channels will strengthen to small craft advisories late Wednesday night. Moderate to heavy rain is forecasted to develop and persist Thursday night through Sunday, with rainfall totals ranging from 2 to 4 inches for most of the region and exceeding 5 inches in some areas. Warm air will also cause snowmelt and runoff over higher elevations. That combination of heavy rain and runoff will cause water levels for area creeks, streams, and rivers to rise, although no flooding is expected at this time. In addition, strong gusty winds are likely, and the combination of strong winds and heavy rain will increase the risk for mudslides. You can stay tuned to KHNS for updated weather throughout the day and keep tabs on the NOAA website. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.